and a 20% chance of rain on Sunday. High 92, down to around 70. Right now, the temperature's at 76. 93.5, 95.3,
Connect FM. And ladies and gentlemen, Fridays at this time, if we don't laugh, we'll cry. There's so much in the news out there, we have to just stop and get political humorous and satirist Bill Melberg on the line. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Stevie J. Good morning, Diane Ducey.
Good morning.
And good morning, Connect FM listeners.
Well, Bill, it's been another interesting news week, hasn't it? How about giving us one of your quick reviews, if you would?
All right. Well, Stevie and Diane, during this past week, the heat wave that had most of us roasting last week let up a bit this week, but this has already been the hottest summer since 1895. Al Gore says it's because of global warming. However, he has no explanation for what made the summer of 1895 so hot. There were no SUVs back then, so perhaps it was cow flatulence. Here in Chicago, the crime wave continues to take its terrible toll on the Windy City. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is facing tough questions about the increasing murder rate in Chicago. Also in Chicago, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. has faced growing questions about his mysterious disappearance from the public eye. Midweek, his office issued a statement that the congressman has been undergoing treatment for, quote, mood disorder, unquote. Members of the NAACP, the nation's largest civil rights organization, were in a foul mood when Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney addressed their convention on Wednesday. Governor Romney was booed when he criticized President Obama's health care program. But on a happier note, Congressman Barney Frank married his longtime partner last weekend in a civil ceremony performed by Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. Senator John Kerry left the party early, but former Speaker Nancy Pelosi reportedly danced the night away. And that's just some of the news from the past week.
Wow, wow, another busy news week. But before we get to some of those news stories, Bill, I understand you have a listener letter for us.
Yes, I do, Stevie and Diane. This listener letter came to me via email shortly after last Friday's program. It was written by one of our internet listeners, a gentleman from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Mr. Christopher Cooperslipper. And Mr. Cooperslipper wrote the following.
Dear Connect FM, I just heard Bill Melberg talking about Canada Day. Mr. Melberg stated that Canada Day was celebrated on July the 5th. While I appreciate his acknowledgement of America's great neighbor to the north, I should point out that Canada Day is celebrated on July the 1st. What kind of an honorary mountie is Mr. Melberg when he doesn't even know the correct date for Canada Day? I hope the Royal Canadian Mounted Police kick Honorary Staff Sergeant Melberg off the force, or at the very least, demote him to constable. Signed, Christopher Cooperslipper, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Well, Mr. Cooperslipper, what can I say? Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. In other words, it was my mistake, my fault, and I apologize. But I'm not the only American who has made a mistake regarding Canada. Here is President Obama referring to the Prime Minister of Canada as, well, just take a listen.
I would immediately call the President of Mexico, the President of Canada, to try to amend NAFTA because I think that we can get labor agreements in that agreement right now. President of Canada, President of Canada, President of Canada, President of Canada. President of Canada.
Wow. Well, President Obama referred to the Prime Minister of Canada as the President of Canada. Didn't he know better, Bill?
Well, Stevie, we all make mistakes, as I did last week. And I might add, insults can go two ways, as President George W. Bush found out during his visit to Ottawa, the Canadian capital, in November 2004. Just listen to this report from Canadian television at that time.
I frankly felt like the reception we received on the way in from the airport was very warm and hospitable, and I want to thank the Canadian people who came out to wave with all five fingers for...
That's President Bush. And speaking of former President George W. Bush, Joining us now for a more in-depth look at the past week is our distinguished team of political analysts, former Presidents George W. Bush.
Howdy, Stevie. Howdy, Diane.
Hello.
And Bill Clinton.
Good morning, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
President Bush, do you remember that reception? You remember President Bush, that reception you received in Canada 8 years ago?
Yes, I do, Stevie, and I was very grateful to all of those Canadian protesters who came out to boo me.
You were grateful?
Of course. They made me feel right at home.
All right, turning to the current political scene, President Clinton, can you explain Barack Obama's economic policies in a way that we all can understand?
Well, to tell you the truth, Stevie, no, I can't. I mean, I don't know what the guy's doing. I know what Hillary would have done, but in any case, here's a man who can explain what President Obama's economic policies are, Professor Ben Stein, with our Friday morning Economics 101 lesson. Now listen up, class.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone, the Great Depression, passed the, anyone, a tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression. Today, we have a similar debate over this. Anyone know what this is, class? Anyone? Anyone seen this before? The Laffer Curve. Anyone know what this says? It says that at this point on the revenue curve, you will get exactly the same amount of revenue as at this point. This is very controversial. Does anyone know what Vice President Bush called this in 1980? Anyone? Something D-O-O economics. Voodoo economics.
President Bush, did you know the answer to that last question? Professor Stein was referring to your father, George H.W. Bush, number 41, after all.
Voodoo economics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that answer, Stevie. After all, I've got an MB whatchamacallit from the Harvard Business School, after all.
All right, on that note, gentlemen, we bid you adieu and welcome our weekly Point Counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, my friend Stevie. Good morning, my friend Diane.
Hello.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
And hello, Connect FM listeners.
Congressman Barney Frank, before we talk about politics, I'm told you were married last weekend. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. And I'm very, very happily married.
Well, congratulations from all of us here at Connect FM. I'm sure you'd prefer that any well-wishers send donations in your name to the Obama Event Registry rather than sending any gifts to you personally.
Wait a minute. Who said that I'd prefer any well-wishers to send donations in my name to the Obama Event Registry rather than sending any gifts to me personally? I've waited 72 years to get married, Stevie and Diane, so well-wishers should be sending their gifts to me, not to Obama.
You do support the president's re-election, don't you?
Well, yes, but...
Senator McCain, did you send a donation in Barney Frank's name to the Obama re-election campaign rather than sending a gift to the newlyweds?
Well, actually, Stevie, I thought sending Barney an email was sufficient. It simply read, good luck. But just to prove my good intentions, my friends, Cindy and I made a small donation in Barney's name to Mitt Romney's campaign.
What a heartfelt and touching sentiment that was.
We thought so, and so did Mitt Romney.
All right, moving.
And Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah. Moving right along, gentlemen. The Republican House passed a bill this week repealing Obamacare. What do you think are the chances of that bill passing the Democratic Senate?
Stevie, my friend, I've analyzed that bill very carefully. I've thought long and hard during this week about what the chances are of the bill being passed in the Democratic Senate. I've talked with Senator Reid about it. And to answer your question succinctly, the chances of that bill passing are zero, my friend, zero.
Congressman Frank?
Well, Stevie and Diane, I have to agree with my colleague Senator McCain from across the aisle. Zero are the chances of that bill passing the Senate.
And on that rare point of agreement, we end today's installment of Point Counterpoint. When we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will bring us a very special guest live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You don't want to miss this. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM 846.
Connect FM.
Back with political humorist Bill Melberg in 2 minutes. It's 8:50, 10 till 9 on 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. We are back with political humorist Bill Melberg and joining us from Toronto, Bill's longtime friend and business associate from the aviation industry, Mr. Christopher Cooper Slipper. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stevie, Diana, my old comrade Bill Melberg, who I've known since 1976,
wow.
Reading from north of the 49th.
Chris.
We were kids back then.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, gentlemen and lady, I trust by now that Bill has been sufficiently admonished for his July the 1st faux pas. However, as you know, we Canadians are a very sensitive lot, and this slight has become something of a cause celeb up here. There were even rumors that the Prime Minister was going to have to reconvene Parliament from its summer recess as we dealt with yet another stab at our nationhood, and it ranks right up there with the time that the U.S. Marine Color Guard paraded our flag around Fulton County Stadium upside down prior to the second game, the 1992 World Series, which, incidentally, Toronto won. So, Bill, we will be listening.
All right, Chris, we have a couple minutes, but I know that your late father, Squadron Leader Mike Cooper Slipper, of the Royal Air Force, was one of what Winston Churchill described as the few.
The gratitude of every home in our island, in our empire, and indeed throughout the world, except in the abodes of the guilty, goes out to the British airmen who, undaunted by odds, unwearied in their constant challenge and mortal danger, are turning the tide of the world war by their prowess and by their devotion. Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few.
And there it is, talking about your dad, the few, the small group of brave young pilots who defeated the German Luftwaffe. Is that how you say that, Bill?
Luftwaffe,
the Nazi Air Force, during the Battle, of course, of Britain in World War II. Tell me, Chris, what Mike Cooper Slipper did as a 19-year-old hurricane pilot, September 15, 1940.
Well, just prior to that, he was, although he was only 19 years old, he was something of a veteran because he had flown in late May during the evacuation at Dunkirk. So his squadron had gone back on rest to northern Scotland and had been recalled at September the 7th to an airfield called Croydon, just south of London. And it was the height of the Battle of Britain, and they were thrust into combat the following day. So on the 15th, he'd flown a number of sorties in the morning. In the afternoon, they were on patrol, as it was the large waves of German bombers and fighters were coming into southeast England. And they encountered a squadron between the towns of Tunbridge Wells and Maidstone. And, of course, there was a giant melee that ensued. And during one of these events, he was attacking a twin-engine light medium bomber called a Dornier 17, and he was surprised to be having some very accurate return fire from the airplane, which shot away all his controls, and he had very little forward and lateral control of the airplane. He could only move the control column a couple of inches, so he thought he would fly over on top of the airplane, maybe damage it a little bit, but he lost control of the wing and flew into it and took the tail off, and down he went along with the the Dornier and the Hurricane. He said he spun inverted for a minute or so from about 18,000 feet, was able to pop out and landed in a field and was abruptly attacked by a number of angry hop pickers because that was the area of Kent where they grew hops. And when they found out that he was a Royal Air Force pilot, of course, then they fought the local constabulary for the right to take him to a number of pubs before he found his way back to Croydon the next day. It's interesting to note, and I think I've told Bill this, that in 1986, 46 years to the day, we went and dug up the remains of the airplane on, wow, on the field in a little place called Yalding, Kent, after years of survey and trying to find out exactly where it was.
Chris Cooper-Slipper, thank you for joining us. Bill, as always, absolutely incredible story. Appropriate after we did our own honor flight last night for World War II veteran Lloyd Longenbaugh, who was a fighter pilot in World War II against the Germans. We did a balloon flight. It was his dream. He's turning 90. He had a great time. As we end on a patriotic note this week, we thank all of you for listening. I'm Stevie J. Diane, have a great weekend.
Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you for listening on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM, and have a great weekend.